What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Nine Circles Audio Thing podcast. I'm your host, Chris Voss, and we're going to get right down to it. It's the end of November, but we are talking about October's album of the month, which was Beyond Creation's Algorithm. So without any further ado, I'm going to have the group take it away. Everybody, welcome to the Nine Circles Audio Thing. I'm your host, Chris Voss, and this month we are talking about the October Nine Circles Album of the Month with the Nine Circles crew. With me here, I got everybody's favorite Finn, Anton. How you doing, sir?
I'm pretty good.
All right. And next to him on my list, I have California's Heracat. Catalina, how are you doing today, Kat?
I'm good. I've been editing a paper, so this is a nice break.
Ah, good. We're gonna talk deep into tech depth. You can use that for your paper this month.
Yay!
And then, as always, our stalwart, always on person, we got Vince as well. Vince, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing better than I have been for much of this week, so that's something to look forward to.
Good. We're going to jump right into it and not waste anybody's time. I'm going to let Anton take it away because he picked the album of the month for October, and it is Beyond Creation's Algorithm. So, Anton, why don't you take it away and tell us a little bit about the album and your thoughts on it.
Yeah, thanks. I really loved it. I mean, despite it being tech dead, it's nonetheless, this is what really impressed me. It's really poetic and graceful. It has this element of sadness and melancholy, while at its core being really, really wild and adventurous. I really like the mirrored neoclassical licks, dreamy atmospherics, and progressive elements that spice up the techie slapping. It's just, they just evolve following their own rules. And I was actually a bit confused and befuddled when some criticized them for not pushing the envelope enough. I mean, what more would you need added into the mix? I mean, granted, their previous albums were pretty intense and awesome, but still. And while it's really heavy and it slaps in so many ways, it doesn't strive or overreach to ante up in terms of virtuosity or speed. I mean, in a way, it refuses to be Arcspire. And I mean, speaking of Arcspire, I saw them recently. I mean, Beyond Creation, I saw them recently on tour with Obscura and Arcspire and Inferion. Even when sandwiched between those heavy hitters, they just masterfully claimed their own niche and just ruled the realm. So that's why I really, really loved it. It has so much depth and detail and beauty that you can just sink into. They don't want to be the hardest hitting, or I mean, in terms of their previous albums, one could say that they a little bit probably slowed it down in a way, but it didn't, you know, it didn't diminish their intensity or beauty or mastery of metal in a way. So I don't know. It's just a beautiful album. It's been a year of fantastic death metal. I've been just basically being overwhelmed by the amount of death metal this year, and but they still just, it's just such a, I don't know, touching and emotional album in many ways. So that's why I really wanted to select them as the album of the month. I mean, you had a lot of other albums also this year in terms of tech death or metal, death metal in general. You had Gorod and you had Xerox that were really high on my monthly best of albums list, but they still somehow claimed their top spot by being just their own species.
Yeah, there's a lot of, this has been a huge year for, this is kind of the question I want to bring up too. It's kind of been a huge year for whether you want to call it tech death or technical death metal. And that's something that we kind of talked about offline a little bit as to how you kind of couch a band like Beyond Creation, especially in the terms of the tour you saw around Arcspire and Obscura and bands like that. So, Herod, going to throw it over to you and just kind of get your thoughts, but at the same time, because I know you were part of the conversation as well. Mm-hmm. Do you count Beyond Creation as tech death? Would you count it as something else? And what is your, what kind of comes to your mind when you talk about the genre like that?
When I think of tech death, I think of one band and one band only, and that's Obscura, because that's the band that I kind of was shown at a very, very young age. They were basically my my starting point with tech death. And so for them, to me, they are the band, you know, the tech death band. Everyone knows them. They have that really nice bass line, the fretless. Yeah, everything about them is great. And so whenever I think of like progressive tech death or just progressive death metal in general, I think of other bands who employ more of, as I like to call it, the difference. So Beyond Creation does fall into the tech death, but they have a very... With this album, they have a very progressive element that really comes into play, as opposed to their last album, where I thought it was more of a, what I called it, Obscura worship, because they're very technical. It was all technical, all the play. But in here, they decided to add more musical elements. And I think you can find that there is a line between what progressive death is and what tech death is. I don't know if that made any sense, but that's what I think of.
It makes perfect sense.
I understood what you were going for.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I kind of had a little bit of the same kind of view, and I actually took it kind of in the opposite direction, Kat. So for me, tech death has always been, when I think of tech death, I usually think of something like anybody who's on the roster of Unique Leader for the most part. It's that super fast, super technical kind of Arcspire, but Arcspire just kind of sits in their own world of insanity and madness, where it borders on the sublime and the ridiculous. But but usually I hear that just kind of rapid fire rat-a-tat technicality that doesn't have a lot of, I don't want to say songwriting, but it doesn't have that sense of groove and melodicism where a band like Obscura does for me. Mm-hmm. So I've been wrestling a lot with, where do I put Beyond Creation, especially this album, which I agree, they took it into a much more kind of expansive melodic step than they did on the last album, which I prefer. I actually prefer this kind of speed for them. Vincent, what about you?
I agree with what Anton said in that this is a very graceful album. And I think that's sort of what separates it from the previous album from them, where the last one, it was a lot more hard hitting. It was a lot more focused on technicality and just like big riffs. And then in Algorithm, there was a lot more sort of clean effect laden passages. It was a lot more noodly, I think, but it's Beyond Creation have always been a band that sort of baffled me, because it's not, it is like almost exactly the opposite of what I look for when I go to find death metal. I'm somebody who takes a very less is more approach to the genre. I like stuff that sounds like it was made by people who don't know how to read. But Beyond Creation have always been the exception to that for me. There's just something, about them that sort of nails down that accessibility that I think a lot of the bands, in particular the ones that you were talking about, Chris, like the Unique Leader roster and Archspire, God help me, I just cannot, there's just something, and I saw that tour that you were talking about, Anton. I went to the Los Angeles date of the big tour with Obscura and Beyond Creation and Archspire, because I had a friend who was very, very into Archspire, and he wanted somebody to go with him, and I can't do it.
That's heresy.
I genuinely don't know how somebody can listen to that and attempt to get anything from it, because everything happens so fast that I feel like I can't even process the songs as they're happening.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's fair.
But, fair enough. That's
but wouldn't you argue, though? Wouldn't you argue that the same thing on the other side of the spectrum? So I definitely see, like, and I'm playing devil's advocate because I like sure, the no, other no. music I'm about to talk to that. As well. But one could make the argument that the same thing applies to the exact opposite end of death metal, where it's that cavernous kind of bellow wrenching vocals and cavernous sound that there is no kind of articulation between the instruments or notes either. I wouldn't put this in exactly this camp, but like A Feather and Bone, or and I'm going to screw this name up because it's the one that I always screw up. Trivium Fowl, is that the name of the band, or Trivium Fowl?
Triumph or Fowl.
Yeah, so that's a band a lot of complaints is that it just sounds like screeching noise, and I can't hear the distinction. Whereas on this side, it's so distinct.
Thing, I think.
Yeah, but the point would remain, right? That you have these two kind of extremes of like super, super technical to the point where there's just maybe nothing to be gleaned from it because it is so decipherable. And then something on the other side that is so undecipherable, whether through production means or because that's the way they want it to sound, that you get the same result, right? I don't understand what this is. I can't glean anything from it.
That reminds me of another band that I listened to back in August called Golgotha Remains, and they have their brand of like death metal sounds like a swamp.
that sounds like something that would be more my usual alley.
It's very niche. Like, they're from Australia. They're very niche, and it sounds like they came from a swamp. Like, it's got like that cavernous sound. It's gross. Every time I listen to that album, I wanted to take a shower because that's how gross it is.
Yeah, this is not one of those albums.
Yeah,
it's not a gross death metal album. Yeah. It is very clean. It is very pretty.
And that's the beauty of it. That's why I really loved it. It's so pleasant to listen to.
It's weird because I heard, before I listened to this album, when I was getting like other people's feelings on it, I heard a lot of people echo sort of the same sentiments that Kat did, is that it's a lot more proggy than their previous one. And I'm like, oh no, I'm not going to like this, because I don't generally enjoy that much prog and stuff that I listen to either. But again, somehow they managed to be the exception and not the rule, because I listened to this and it was like, maybe, I don't know if it just caught me on a good day or what, but it's so far removed from what I normally reach for death metal that it circles around to being like something that I really enjoyed.
Yeah. That's cool.
And I had the same thing that happened with one of the other albums that I've talked about on this podcast before too, which is the Panegyrist album that I Voidhanger put out earlier this year, which is like really insane, like prog black metal with like Blind Guardian influences and stuff. And it's just like, it's one of those things that's, I had to like really sit and reckon with myself, because it was something that was so far removed from my normal listening habits, and yet it was something that I really, really enjoyed.
Yeah, I remember when you turned us onto that, I got the same thing and had the same kind of challenge with it, but ultimately kind of came to really dig that album too. That's a really fun kind of far-flung record.
Yeah, and I had the same sort of personal reckoning when I was listening to Algorithm, but There's just something about them. They nail sort of that fine line between something that is technically proficient but doesn't make me feel like I have to have a PhD to appreciate it.
Gent? It's not gent, whatever that stupid genre name is.
Gent.
Thank you.
I'm not really sure how you pronounce it, to be honest.
Does it gent?
Yeah.
No, it certainly does not gent. No, that's true. And I think maybe there was one song.
Where I was like, okay, we're really approaching that territory, huh?
Yep.
So if it doesn't gent, Vincent, would it be fair to say that it slaps?
What was it that Anton said something that almost made me like laugh out loud in the podcast feed? It slaps in so many ways.
Yeah, in so many ways. But gracefully.
Slaps in the best way, right?
I think would be fair to say.
Yeah.
Well, how much of that is due to, so I think the one thing, and I, for context, I wrote about it for the site. I like it a lot. And I'm kind of on Vince's side. So when I go to death metal, super technical death metal, tech death is not what I usually reach for. I tend to reach for more kind of either progressive, heavier death metal or just kind of old school Morbid Angel kind of groove oriented stuff like that, that kind of hits that bottom pocket. But the thing that really drew me to this, and out of their three albums, this is probably my favorite. But the one thing that they are very distinctive about is the whole fretless bass thing. I think that's something very unique. And the one thing that I wrote about, I didn't realize. So in between the other two albums and this one, they actually change bassists.
I was going to ask you about that because I had heard that, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, so they had changed bassists, and you know, when you're a power trio like these guys are, I mean, bass is everything, especially when your first two albums are really kind of hinge on the fact that, oh, we have a fretless bass player, and it's not going to sound like your typical death metal. It's going to slip and slide everywhere. And I don't think they lose a beat here. And
no,
I think, in
definitely
fact,
not.
Yeah, to what Kat said, you know, the fact that they open it up, they make it a little bit more melodic, a little bit slower, so that you have time to kind of appreciate the technicality that you're hearing, and you get it in this really nice structure. It just really brings it together.
Definitely a large part of my enjoyment of this album was the amount of bass solos per capita that are present here.
Yep.
There's just something about a fretless bass solo that makes me lose my mind. It's just so cool.
And
he's like insanely good also. Like, there's no doubt that this dude is like worthy to step into the shoes of the person who came before him.
And that's the beauty of it. I mean, their previous bass player, Dominic Lapointe, he's a heavy hitter, world-class bass player. He plays in one of the bands that released one of my favorite tech death / prog death albums this year, Augury. And he plays in First Fragment and Terramobile. So he's just amazing. He's godlike. And then, you know, his successor, Hugo, he's played in Brought by Pain and Equipoise. So it's just replacing a world-class, you know, metal god with another one. And, you know, Hugo takes his own, you know, he makes his own mark. He's slightly different playing style, but he's immediately just part of the band. Just
He's not afraid to like. He's not afraid to just like shred it out. I think.
Yeah.
So he's definitely not afraid to shred. But I think what I like about this more than I like about, like, say, Earthborn Evolution, which was the previous, right? Aura is the debut. Is he's not afraid to just kind of step back too. He doesn't always have to shred and rip your face off with his solos. He will kind of come back and let the band kind of work together in a nice seamless kind of groove for a while. It doesn't all have to be flash. And I think that's what makes this band and other bands in this genre kind of successful. When you're not going 100 miles an hour just to prove that, you know, you can nail this syncopated rhythm and you can hit this 30-second note, you know, riff 100 times at 1,000 miles an hour, and you actually have time to kind of step back and go, hey, let's just hit this groove for a little bit, let the audience enjoy it, and then kind of slap, if you will. I think it works.
It's what I've started calling the Archspire dilemma, which is, let's just like, are you in a band to play music, or are you in a band to prove that you are a better musician than another band who thinks that they're the best musicians in the world?
Well, that's the problem with tech death. I feel like
after a certain point, it becomes a pissing contest.
Well, at some point, you find that when you're in tech death, you have to know what your instrument is, right? And I kind of wrote about this like 3 o'clock in the morning at one point, because I have thoughts about this at like 3 o'clock in the morning,
as one does,
where you can't sleep at night. But with tech death, you have to be an instrumentalist who knows your instrument. Their focus is their instrument. It's showing how well you know your instrument, as opposed to like creating music for the sake of composing it, you know? Mm. The difference between an instrumentalist and a composer is that instrumentalists know how to read music, and the composer knows how to compose music for all the instruments that they know, in my case, as far as performing goes. But with someone who knows how to, in tech dev mostly, you find that there's a lot of people who know their instrument, and it's about nailing that 30-second riff of complicated syncopated rhythm, as opposed to like creating a riff that is to be enjoyed by everyone.
Yeah, it's the difference between writing a practice exercise and writing a song.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of tech death doesn't do well enough writing songs. They write a lot of stuff to practice, but they don't write a lot of songs. And I Beyond Creation have always been really good at writing songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Algorithm is probably some of the best songs that they've written. Just now that they have that added sort of breath to it, where they have the prog sections that sort of break up the mechanical sort of tech death that they've got going on. It flows a little bit better, and it slaps.
Yeah. Hey, Hera, I had a question. Wait. I think it was you who relatively recently asked for a gateway band into the bedazzling world of tech death, and I vaguely recall...
I haven't done tech death yet, but I've done symphonic and
Exactly, but I vaguely recall I recommended Beyond Creation on account of their accessibility, relatively speaking, where they eschew their showboating or virtuosity for the sake of virtuosity. So I wanted to hear thoughts a little bit more on this regard. Was it enjoyable? Was it easy, again, relatively speaking, to get into them?
So because my whole knowledge of tech death is just obscure, and I've listened to probably most of their discography for the sake of actually writing something about them a couple of months back for another place. But basically, I got into them thinking like, okay, maybe if I like Obscura, I will like this band.
Mm.
And I listened to the album before this one. I forget names all the time. But Earth I listened Born to Evolution. Thank you. I listened to the previous one before Algorithm, and I was like, this sounds like really like Obscura. This is what Obscura would sound like if they just did it. But then I listened to Algorithm and I was like, okay, this is more enjoyable. Like, I actually enjoyed this. And that's the thing with tech death. When you know a band so well, you kind of just pick up and you're like, oh, I've heard this before. But when you listen to something new or something that is more progressive in tone, they play around with the schema of what we know as tech death. It becomes more enjoyable because you're not listening to the same thing over and over again. You're listening to something else.
Wholeheartedly.
So, verdict,
agree.
I like this album better. That was fun.
Same. So anyone have any particular tracks or moments that they want to call out for this?
The first track.
First track?
The first track.
Well, the first real... Yeah. There's like an album opener, I think.
The album opener and the second track. Like, for me, I was like, okay.
I think that was what kicked it off really, really nicely for me. Because the first track is sort of like, it starts out in a way that feels very Earthborn Evolution. And then you get maybe like 2/3 of the way through. And that's, I think, the first time they hit you with that real jazzy sort of breakdown.
Yeah.
And you kind of, you start to pick up that they're going in a different direction with it. Mm-hmm. So I definitely agree. I think that was the standout for me. But my taste also tends to veer toward album openers, just because I think that's like, you want to put your strongest songs there.
Yeah. You got to start strong.
The tone and the scope for everything. Yeah. So the first song proper is, screw this up too. Entre Suffrage et Mirage, maybe?
Something like that.
Maybe. I'm going to just say that probably the song after that I like even more. One, because it's easier to say, Surfaces Echoes.
Oh.
But same thing. It just kind of continues that path of just groove breakout, you know, just kind of flailing virtuosity, but then settling back into an actual song. I think that's what really makes the album work. There are some really heavy songs here and there that kind of recall Earthborn Evolution, which I agree feels a lot more like a tech death album, like an Obscura album. I like where this one goes. I don't think Obscura would take kind of the melodic chances that this album does. And it just kind of really drew me to it.
Yeah. Obscura has always been known for their techs, for their instrumental prowess. They've never been progressive. It's only this album, Diluvium, where they got slightly more progressive.
Yeah.
Slightly, because that's... Yeah. I'm sorry, but Acrodiosis was not my favorite.
I have listened to one Obscura song. And it was the song that everyone told me to listen to because it sounded not like an Obscura song.
What was it?
Something with the ocean or something like that. The one with the big stupid riff.
Oh yeah, the one with the big stupid riff.
Hang on, this is gonna. It's something like that. I remember somebody told me to listen to it because they're like, well, if you don't like tech death, you might like this Obscura song because it doesn't sound like any of their other songs.
That's the thing about Obscura. They sound like themselves. Everything is a repetition of what they've done previously. No offense to Obscura. I love those guys. They're my favorite tech death band. But I will rip on them if I have to.
Hey, Ocean Gateways. Mm.
That one?
Ocean Gateways was the song.
Hey, Hera, speaking of Obscura and Obscura adjacent bands, what do you think about the spoiler alert, my album of the year, Alkaloid?
I did listen to that one, and I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would.
Good. Good for you.
Is that really going to be your album of the year?
Yeah, it's amazing.
You're breaking the news now?
Wow. Yeah, I'm breaking the news now.
I still haven't decided what my album of the year is. And there's five of them.
I know. I don't think that there's anything that's coming out within the next 6 weeks that's gonna top Magus for me. So I feel pretty confident saying that that's going to be mine.
Oh, you're in for a ride, man. There's going to be so many nice albums in December. Sulfur, Eon, Dirge, and other amazing albums coming up.
Well, there's stuff coming out next week.
There's going to be stuff that's good. I just don't think there's going to be anything that's going to knock out that album for me.
For your top spot, I'm not going to say what it is. I think my top spot is down, but there are definitely some surprises coming. I think next week, and I talked to you about it earlier, Anton.
Chapel of Disease.
Holy cow.
Amazing. It's such a curveball. It's amazing. And again, death metal. Year of death metal.
Death metal with country, which I was not surprised.
Yeah, country. I was like, what?
I was not expecting.
It's amazing.
Oh, the ways that metal can be malleable.
So why don't we transition real quick? We'll transition into what we're currently listening to and some other topics. But does anyone have anything else they want to say about Beyond Creation, algorithm, tech death, or progressive death metal, technical death metal, anything death metal in general before we kind of move on?
Algorithm lies somewhere in the realm between what tech death should be and what progressive death should be. And the fact that they straddle that line really, really well makes this album really cool to listen to. That's what I'll say.
I'll second that.
They're a tech death band that knows how to write songs.
Yep.
And that's why they'll always be my exception and never my rule.
I will definitely second that. And I will also just throw this out that despite their ridiculous over-the-top nature, I do love Arcspire. I think they just hit that level of stupidity that is outrageous, and I just can't
do it. I've tried so many times.
I totally get that.
I think it's about hyper-intelligence with them. But it's so much fun that it's just boisterous. It's just boisterous.
Yeah, because I've read some of those lyrics. Those lyrics are ridiculous.
Yeah. But when I saw them, I was just laughing out loud. I was like, fuck, how is this possible?
Okay. Here's how you know if something's really intelligent, you get a thesis written about it. That's how you know. That's how you know.
And on that note, why don't we then just quickly kind of talk through. So there was a lot going on in October. So if anybody wants to throw out, I wouldn't say runners up to the album of the month because it is firmly Beyond Creation. But what's everyone else been listening to? Anyone else had any choices they want to talk about?
In October?
In October or what you're listening to now. Because, of course, in typical 9C fashion, we're recording this in the toward the end of November. So
I mean, in October, I had some other really tough competition with Beyond Creation. I had Gorod's new album Aethra, which was just amazing, and I had Xerox, their new album. So just in terms of really inventive tech death or death metal in general, it was just a banner month. It was amazing. And on top of that, I'm hopefully foreshadowing our forthcoming album of the month, The Ocean, released a real barn burner. It's amazing, their new album.
I will second Ocean, and I will also add what I listened to, the other thing I listened to this month so far has been the new Coheed and Cambria. I always forget they exist, and then they release new music, and I'm like, okay, I'm here. I love you.
See, my problem is every time Coheed and Cambria release a new album, I'm like, well, it's time to listen to the Second Stage Turbine Blade again.
I have never heard a Coheed and Cambria song or album.
Me neither.
It's a lot better than people give it credit for. There's a chance I might be looking at it through some rose-colored glasses because they were really big in my high school career. But like, I'll ride for that first album like forever. The Second Stage Turbine Blade is a masterpiece.
That sounds an awesome thing.
I have listened to Coheed and Cambria on and off consistently for the past 14 years, maybe. So I'm very familiar with their music. So when I heard that they released a new album, I was like, okay, goodbye. Everything else, I'm going to listen to this album. Wow.
I will say that I listened to the new Hate Eternal album, and I liked it a lot more than I thought that I was going to.
Are you a Hate Eternal fan? Or
I have never really been a fan of theirs. As much as I love Eric Rutan for the person that he is and everything that he's done for us, I've tried listening to Hate Eternal a few times before, and it's always been good, but there's something about it that's never really clicked with me as being like something that I'm going to go back to. But I listened to their new one, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. They're a band I've never liked. And I'm not going to say that I love the new album, but I like it, which is a huge change of pace from any of their other stuff that I've listened to. And yeah, I love his production. Like when he produces, I know I'm getting a great album.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to upset any of like any of the list that I've made. It's not maybe like the best death metal that I've heard all year, but it was like incredibly solid, and I enjoyed it more than I thought that I was going to. And it's
So I'll kick off. I've listened to a couple of things. Probably the biggest thing that I've been listening to in October, at least, has been, I don't know if anyone else is into this, another name I'll screw up. I believe it's Pia Mater or Pia Mater. They're a Brazilian band.
I listened to that album too.
Yeah, The Wandering Daughter.
Yes. Yes,
so
yes.
I won't say where it is, but it is definitely on my end of year list. And essentially, it's basically if you miss heavy Opeth, like Blackwater Park era, this is them. But it has a little bit more of a, I don't want to say a Brazilian flair, but there is a percussive syncopated flair to it that is entirely their own. But it is very much Opeth.
You can say Brazilian flair. Like, that's appropriate. That's what they said.
When I think of Brazilian flair, I tend to think of like Sepultura, and this is not Sepultura. This is so firmly Opeth, it's almost ridiculous. But just with this little extra kind of world flavor, and it's just, I've been listening to it nonstop.
It's great.
I have also sadly had to listen to for quite a while the new Behemoth, which is not very good.
That is easily 45 minutes of my life that I would pay money to get back.
I refuse to listen to the new Behemoth because I don't care for Nergal.
I don't like him. I don't care for him. Corey was like, you need to experience how bad this is with the rest of us, and that's the only reason that I listened to it. And immediately I was like, why did I waste my entire lunch break at work on this piece of garbage?
So it was interesting because Corey is a diehard Behemoth fan. He loves that band. Mm-hmm. So I asked him, I said, hey, if you love the band, are you going to do a review for the site? Excuse me. And he said, you know what? Maybe you should do a review for the site or someone else. I don't know if I'm the right person. So I was like, oh, I'll do it. We have the thing. I'll do it. Oh, that was a rough one. That was a rough one.
Nah.
Damn. On the plus side, though, the new Bloodbath is, to me, the best Bloodbath album that is out there.
I listened to that one on the same day that I listened to Hate Eternal, and I really enjoyed that one, too. It's a Bloodbath album. Like, I don't expect much from them, and they always deliver what I want.
Yeah, and I'll go to bat that Nick Holmes is the best vocalist that the band's ever had.
I will firmly disagree with you there, but I would never talk shit on the man. He certainly... He's certainly doing a wonderful job with the helm, but I like Åkerfeldt era Bloodbath is like, that's sorry, that's gonna be my thing forever. I want to shout out one more thing too, because we are talking about an album on this podcast that was released on Season of Mist, and I also shouted out Hate Eternal, which was also released on Season of Mist. The other album that I've been listening to a ton, which was also released on Season of Mist, that is actually going to upset some things on my year-end list, is the new Sylvain album.
I have not heard it yet, but it's on my list.
Yep.
Do you like Alcest?
Yes, of course
it's
I do.
It's an Alcest album.
Who
it's
wouldn't?
Very
yes! fucking yeah. good.
Give it to me.
I like Alcest, and I like
Sylvain. Like, that's probably, that's doing her a disservice, to be sure. But, like, well, there's no question where she draws her influence from.
Didn't he also help produce that album?
Isn't he playing on the
album. He plays drums on the album.
Yeah.
At least one of the songs. Because he's, like, they're really good friends with each other. She does such a great job with that. It's just wonderful. And, like, the songwriting chops, the way that she's able to blend like the soft and the heavy sides of her music got so much better on this album, whereas I liked it, but it kind of felt like here's the soft song, here's the heavy song, and it just sort of alternated. They're incorporated together a lot better on Adam's Aligned, and it's such a phenomenal album. It's so beautiful.
All right, I'm looking forward to that then.
Did that just come out, Vincent, or
Couple weeks,
okay.
I think it was the beginning of November.
That's the thing. I mean, we've been talking about The Ocean, and I do like the album quite a bit, but November's a killer month for music.
Oh, yeah.
There's a few that are very heavy in contention for me that, were it my choice, I would potentially choose over The Ocean. And I haven't even heard the Sylvain yet, which I've been looking forward to.
It's real good.
So much good stuff.
The pile never stops growing. I had a conversation with a friend. I was like, yeah, that pile of albums that you don't listen to because it just piles and it screams at you at 3 o'clock in the morning. Listen to me. That's that pile right now.
Yeah. I mean, there's still two. The new Evoken came out this month. This week on the site, we talked about Azusa, which is really good, kind of the new version of Extol. The new Sledges came out, which I'm personally in love with. I think that's knocking a few things off my end of year list. Kind of hits that black and roll perfectly. New Psy album just came out, which I haven't gotten to yet, but it's sitting in the queue. Lots of stuff coming out. Lots of stuff to look forward to. That will do it. Thanks, everyone. This is the Nine Circles Audio Thing podcast. So on behalf of myself, Anton, Kat, and Vincent, we thank you very much, and we will see you probably much later than we intend to next month with some other hot wash. Bye-bye.
Take care, guys. Bye.
My thanks to Anton, Kat, and Vincent for participating in the episode today. Beyond Creation, the album is Algorithm. It is on Season of Mist, available everywhere. It came out on October 12th. Have it on Bandcamp. It is available on all your digital and online retailers, as well as in physical shops. So go ahead and support a local record or music store and pick it up. Great, great death metal record. That's going to do it for us this month. A couple of last-minute housekeeping items. The website is Nine Circles, www.ninecircles.co. You can also find us on Twitter @_NineCircles. Facebook page is @NineCirclesBlog, or just look up Nine Circles over at Facebook. You can also contact us at ninecirclesblog@gmail.com. Like I said, that's going to do it for us this month. We will try to make it earlier in December with our November album of the month. Until then, see you later.